ride for holy rollers, but they may wash my feet, and I won't be their soldier.
Is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
If I get the feeling you've been cheated...
It is Wednesday, July 20th, 2016. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program tonight, ladies and gentlemen... it is Majority Report live coverage and mocking of the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. My Lord, it's still going on. It's still happening. Hold on for 1 second. I think we just, I'm concerned that we may have just gotten a phone call from the delivery folks downstairs. And we were a little late in ordering our food tonight. Last night, as you know, we ordered Chinese food because of China. We thought the theme was Make America Work Again last night, so we thought that we would be engaging in some type of subterfuge by ordering Chinese food. Oh, hold on for 1 second. Let me just see what's going on here. Hold on. Bear with me, folks. Hello?
We thought the theme was going to be was going to be Make America Work Again, but it turned out that it was Lock Her Up, which, unless we're planning on putting a whole bunch of people to work as private prison guards for wherever we're going to lock up Hillary, is unlikely. Kelly, you want to hop on mic and say hi? I mean, it's just me vamping. It's a nice image to watch Sam trying to direct from 12 floors up our quesadillas and chicken tacos to get up here.
All right, folks. This is the kind of live anything-can-happen coverage that we are offering you of the Republican National Convention. Kelly, did you give Mark the cash? We have Michael Brooks is out tonight on a special assignment. I think he's got a date. Is that right, Matt? Do you know? Has he got a date?
You know, it's possible. I think it's under cover of some sort of branding get-together.
Yeah, he's establishing his core branding proposition right now. Well, I will talk about who's joining us in our studio. Kelly's upset because she was forced to tip too much. Also joining us in studio tonight, Mark Ames of Pando Daily and War Nerd, the podcast, which you should definitely check out. I don't know how you get there, like Patreon, I guess, but Google it. I mean, you can find it, folks. I mean, let's grow up. Tonight, we are anticipating a lot of Republicans speaking. We're going to hear from Laura Ingraham, who should be speaking at any moment. She is the famed radio host, horrible person. All I can tell you is that she's doing much better in her time slot since Janine and I stopped broadcasting 7 to 10 p.m., where we would consistently beat her on WKRKO in New York City, which had a stronger signal than ours did. So funny. And then, of course, Phil Ruffin, a businessman, will be speaking. He has diverse interests in real estate, lodging and manufacturing, and energy and retail enterprises. Presumably, he's going to be talking about how to make America first again, presumably by, I guess, exploiting low-wage workers, as he holds 12 hotels in Kansas, Maryland, California, Oklahoma, Texas, and Alabama. Pam Bondi is here. She's the Attorney General of Florida, who I believe is still on the payroll of the Trump Inc. I'm not sure. She got $25,000 to stop investigating him. I don't know how long that lasts. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the specifics of a contract like that. Aline Collins will be here. She's a retired astronaut. She was the first woman to command a space shuttle mission and logged over 537 hours in space during her tenure at NASA. That's pretty impressive. I found out that that golfer last night, the one from the LPGA, do you know what she's ranked?
200 something?
No, 439, I think it is. I don't know. She's in the 400s. Now, I'm not saying that if you're going to have a golfer come up and speak to your convention that they have to be number one or top 10 or top 50 or top 100 or top 150 or top 200. But when you start getting like above 350, I sort of feel like who's not, right? I don't know. I have not seen the swimsuit calendar that she produced as her business expertise. But Michelle Van Etten will be here. She is, if I'm not mistaken, she's a small business owner. She is the one who, when they announced that she was going to speak, and they had said like she has like hundreds of employees or something like that, she was the one who put out a press release, "I have no employees." Because apparently she was concerned that her wage theft would be reported. So she had to change that. I'm not 100% sure of that. I know there was somebody who was scheduled to speak. So many people have dropped out of the speaking engagements that it's hard to know. Darrell Scott, a senior pastor and co-founder of the New Spirit Revival Center Ministries,
will speak. I don't know much about him. Kentucky State Senator Ralph Alvarado. He's trained as a physician specializing in internal medicine. He's going to probably talk about how Affordable Care Act is a problem, I would guess. I'm just guessing now. Harold Hamm is an American entrepreneur and played a key role in the development of technologies behind the United States' recent renaissance in oil and natural gas production. So, yes, maybe fracking, I guess. And so he presumably will talk about the government subsidies that we provide to the oil industry, or maybe not mention that. Then Governor Scott Walker, perhaps the biggest loser in the Republican primary. I mean, it's hard to judge these things. You could argue that Jeb Bush was the biggest loser. But Walker was the first one out. And so in many respects, he could be the biggest loser. I don't know. I hope that Donald Trump comes out and introduces him in that fashion, but I doubt it. Lynn Van Patten will speak after that. She, of course, is the president of the Eric Trump Foundation and a senior assistant to Eric Trump. God knows what the Eric Trump Foundation does, but I'm sure we'll find out. Senator Marco Rubio will either be here. I think he said he wouldn't show up, but he's going to be here on video. So he's playing both sides of this. Wants to desperately run in 2020. Wants also to have none of the taint from Donald Trump, but also needs the taint from Donald Trump. So he's in a jam. And of course, Ted Cruz in the exact same position. He's going to come up. And then Eric Trump, who apparently is the executive vice president of the Trump Organization, will speak. No word on whether or not he will plagiarize on his speech, but I guess we won't find that out until he does it. And then Newt and Callista Gingrich will come up, and I think they are going to introduce a new line of kitchenware that they're selling, a Gingrich-branded kitchenware, or not. I don't know. Maybe he just might come up and talk about Muslims. And then, of course, the coup de grace, Indiana Governor Mike Pence. And it was apparently Donald Trump Jr. today is on record of saying that the vice president is actually going to be in charge of foreign policy and domestic policy, both foreign and domestic policy. So both, like all policy, apparently. And I guess presumably the president at that point would be left doing a lot of like the parties, maybe like at greeting meets and greets with people. I don't know. I don't know what happens. That's what it is. He's in charge of maintaining the integrity of the core brand. What was it? How was it phrased?
Maintain the core brand proposition.
Yes, he's gonna maintain the core brand proposition, which is, of course, racism and xenophobia. Maybe he might expand on that. One note in the news, which I thought was pretty significant, and has, I don't know what, I can't quite figure out what implications it's going to have in terms of this election, because this is in the Fifth Circuit, which is Texas and a couple of those southwestern states. I'm not exactly sure. I got to look up what the Fifth Circuit represents, but the Fifth Circuit, which is a court which is considered extremely conservative, has ruled that the Texas voter ID law, which is one of the strictest in the country, violates the Voting Rights Act. Now, so the law is going to be struck down. And there's a couple of issues in this. Since the Supreme Court gutted the pre-clearance provision of the Voting Rights Act, which is Section 5, what they did is they actually said that preclearance is okay, but the way in which it's calculated is wrong. Congress has to redraw this. Now, of course, Congress is not going to redraw it because it's dominated by the Republicans, even though they reauthorized this, I think it was back in 2007, 2006. So the preclearance provision is there, but it's inoperative. There is also another provision. It's an opt-in provision, or force-in, if you will, and that's Section 3. And so if a court finds that a state has had the intent or what amounts to the intent of disenfranchising minority voters, they can automatically be shifted into the preclearance category, if you will, wherein any changes to voting rules, they need to check with the Department of Justice first, and they need to go to court to make those changes first rather than the Department of Justice coming after them and going to court if they find that those laws are discriminatory in terms of people's right to vote. So it's unclear whether or not Texas is going to get pushed in via Section 3. But at least this law, and at least as it applies to people who can show some burden by these laws, because it's going to go back to the district court, has been struck down. When you don't, I mean, it's unclear to me now what happens as to whether or not this will rise to the level of the Supreme Court certifying it. They certainly won't, I think, in the interim when it's 4-4. Although if there is a perception that it could be 5-4, I mean, this is something that's going to be reviewed. And if the most conservative circuit court in the country, appellate court, has found this to be unconstitutional, you're going to see more of these rulings. I mean, we already saw one in Wisconsin. So there's going to be more of this. How this is going to implicate this election, I don't know. But if you'll recall, there was some significant research that showed, I think it was Nate Silver, showed that had these laws been in full effect in 2012, it would have shaved off 1.2% of Obama's lead on Romney. So this is fairly significant. Let's run our interview, Matt. What's going on, guys? Yeah. Are we having a problem with the video? No. Okay. Well, you guys are like talking during my dramatic flourish about the Voting Rights Act, I thought. All right. Well, let's go to an interview because I want to try and make sure that we capture Laura Ingraham, because that's going to be really offensive, I think, to everybody. And that's what we're here for. I spoke to Terrell Jermaine Starr from Fusion about an hour or two ago. He is in Cleveland covering a lot of the Black Lives Matter protesters, speaking to folks of color in Cleveland about the implications of the RNC in their backyard. Here's that interview now. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report on the phone. It is a pleasure to welcome to the program Terrell Jermaine Starr. He is the national political correspondent for Fusion. Terrell, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So you are in Cleveland at the moment. You've been there for a couple of days covering this. My understanding is this is not the first time you've been in Cleveland.
That's correct. This is my third trip here already. I spent more than a month in Cleveland doing pre-coverage for the convention, and much of my reporting has focused on minorities, pretty much black and brown people in Cleveland, and how the economic development that's been taking place here downtown will affect people once they leave. And just before we had this call, I was in East Cleveland, where it's predominantly black. It's a very poor part of this area, and I was talking to local people about the decay that's going on there. And so a lot of things are going on downtown with Donald Trump and the supporters down here. It's pretty much foreign to a lot of people who live on the poor and least economically developed parts of town.
I mean, I feel like I already know the answer to this, but I feel obligated to ask. I mean, to what extent, put aside for a moment, like you say, the any protests that involve Donald Trump or the convention itself, but have you noticed any outreach from the convention, from the Republican Party, from anybody, from groups affiliated with the convention to the local communities to deal with any of those issues that you're talking about?
Well, the thing is, they have, right? So there are a number of, they're on a number of fronts. So I spoke with a representative at the Republican Party who has actually reached out to a number of local businesses to be vendors at the convention. And this person told me, I can't remember the exact number, so out of maybe 15 or 20 food caterers that are going to be at the convention, there are three or four that were Black from the city of Cleveland. And the Black Outreach Director for the Republican National Committee has been in Cleveland for a week or so, talking to Black people who are running for office as Republicans. And so there has been some outreach here. The real question is not so much about outreach efforts from the Republican Party to the Black community. It's what does the Republican Party represent to Black and brown people here? And when you have Donald Trump, they pretty much see the party as racist. I can't be any more simpler than that.
That's interesting. Well, first off, I should just note, I stand corrected. I'm glad my cynicism was proven wrong. It's good to hear that there's at least some outreach. Give me a sense of, I mean, how well, when you talk to folks there and they, particularly in the Black and brown communities, and they say that Donald Trump is racist, what are they citing something specific? Is it a fairly new perspective? Tell us.
Yes. So listen, here's the thing. There are officially 18 African-American delegates here at the convention, and that's the lowest number in recent history, at least the past 100 years, right? And so you have a person, Donald Trump, who is the nominee of the party, and what people have told me, and I've spoken to dozens of people over the past month, they have told me that they feel like Donald Trump's statements and his rhetoric about Muslims, about Mexicans, referring to them as rapists and murderers, and the way that he talks about Black people supporting him, my African-American or my Blacks or my supporters, like the language sounds like, oh, white man, racist language. Those are the words that people have told me. Now, you have some Black Republicans locally who support Trump. And, of course, I believe that every person deserves the agency to pick whomever they choose as their presidential nominee. The issue is that the vast majority of people here in the state of Cleveland the state of Ohio and the city of Cleveland think that he is racist pretty much on what he says on television. And, for example, Donald Trump is polling at zero when it comes to Black people. So they cite his rhetoric. They also know about the fact that in 1973 he was sued by the Department of Justice because he was accused of discriminating against Black and brown people who wanted to lease his property. They've heard the stories about Black workers being replaced with white ones at his Atlantic City casinos anytime he came into town. They know about The Apprentice and the fact that in addition to just having one Black person to win The Apprentice, he has few people, Black and brown or any other ethnic group, in his executive level. So they just think that he's it's a farce to see these Black people who are supporting him because they look at them as being paid puppets, so to speak, for the Trump message.
How acute do the folks that you're talking to feel this? Acutely, I should say. Because, I mean, it seems to me that there are folks in this country who could really perceive Donald Trump. I mean, there's a lot of people who walk around. Donald Trump would be horrible for the country. I can't even believe. But there are some people where I think there is like literally an existential threat, right? I mean, particularly I think if you're from a Muslim community, if you're from a Latino community, and I imagine to a certain extent African-American community, there's an existential threat here. I mean, because there's a lot of violent rhetoric that seems to be surrounding this and talk of policy. So, I mean, how motivated are people to vote? I mean, it's one thing to say, I think this guy is racist. It's another to say, like, I'm as motivated to engage electorally as I've ever been or close to. I mean, give me your sense of that.
That's a good question. Now, that's a great question. And so In regards to that, that remains to be seen, right? So we don't know how much Donald Trump's racist rhetoric is going to compel people to come out to the polls, because we've never seen this before. When we think about electoral politics, and particularly at the presidential level, over the past 20 years, we've seen significant increases in black people coming out to vote. This year is going to be the most diverse electorate in history. That includes people who are Asian, people who are Arab, people who are Latino, people who are black. So this is the most diverse electorate ever. Now, what does that mean for people going to the voting booth? It depends on how great former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, black outreach, Latino outreach, all kinds of outreach teams are operating, because we don't have President Barack Obama running for office anymore, in which we saw in 2008, 2012, the highest numbers of black people coming out ever. It's going to really depend on how many black women come out to support Hillary Clinton, because they're her biggest supporters by far. So here in Cleveland, I know several organizations that have been trying to get 100,000 people in Cuyahoga County to register to vote. And the peg is, hey, black and brown people, do you want this racist to be your president? He's in your backyard. Don't you think that you should feel encouraged to come out to vote? So that's their angle. I don't know exactly how many people they've gotten registered to vote so far, but I know there's a number of organizations that have come together to try to get at least 100,000 black and brown people to register for the fall. So those types of things are going on.
And I should remind people, I mean, when we talk about Ohio, we're basically talking about the national election. I mean, because this is a state where my understanding is Gary Johnson will not be on the ballot, the Libertarian.
Yeah.
So this is a and I'm not sure what the status is of Jill Stein, but certainly Gary Johnson has been polling higher in the polls and takes as much away.
15%. He's actually doing well. So we're expecting Gary Johnson. I think that he may get as much as 10%, because this is
My understanding is that the Libertarian Party is not necessarily on the ballot in Ohio.
From what I know so far, yes.
And so this is going to be a straight up match in many respects between Trump and Clinton. So any of the people that you talk to in the community over your past visits, have they been contacted? I mean, have they come in contact with outreach from Democratic canvassers? Or
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Everybody I've spoken to here has have talked about some type of Democratic outreach. And you have to keep in mind that many of the voter registration initiatives are led by unions, and unions are pretty much Democrat, most of them are. And so they have the mechanisms in order to get these people out. So, and it really doesn't take that much convincing, okay? So
right.
Most black people here in Cleveland and Cuyahoga County, they're going to go Democrat. The issue is how many of them are going to come out to vote, how many new people are going to come out to vote, because this is uncharted territories with Donald Trump.
Right.
And in order for him to win, white people are going to have to come out in droves, because those are his biggest supporters. He doesn't get a lot of support from women. He doesn't get a lot of support from anyone else who's not a white male. So if Donald Trump is able to get a record number of white men to come out to vote, then that's going to be that's going to be the toughest challenge for the Hillary camp. Now, what I will say is that there are a lot of people who feel so fearful of Trump here that I think it may shift the difference. Now, one thing about Ohio that I have to state is that, yes, nationally it is a swing state, but locally it's very much a red state. So if you think about the congressional delegation to Congress, out of 16 people, 12 of them are Republican, 4 are Democrat. So locally, it's very much a Republican entity, and it's very much controlled by Republicans. So it's really going to be tough to say how the state is going to swing in November because of those factors.
And so give me a sense of the protests. I know that you've been doing some coverage of those protests as well. What kind of showing? Has there been as much protest activity as you anticipated? Because my sense is there seems to be a little bit less. than people anticipate.
Much less, yeah. Look, we were prepared for the worst. We were preparing for anti-Trump protesters and pro-Trump protesters to be fighting and engaging in all kinds of fisticuffs. But look, I'm in the middle of downtown Cleveland, and as we speak, I see 5 Indiana State Police walking past right now from Indiana, right up the block. I counted about 15 to 20 state troopers from California. I saw some from Austin. I saw some from other states. I saw a group of state troopers coming from Kansas. This is pretty much as close to a police state in downtown as you could possibly get. Mm. If anything pops off here, local police are definitely on it. And I think that what's happening in Cleveland is that there is a lot of intimidation here, particularly by the FBI. So a lot of people I spoke with who were planning on protesting and all the sources that built up over the month, they haven't called me to say what, you know, about anything that's going on. Now, are there protests here? Yes, absolutely. There are a lot of things that are going on at the public square. But is it out of control? Absolutely not.
And what of the open carry folks? I mean, I've seen some pictures of open carry folks, but that was one of the big sort of concerns, right? Was that you're going to have protests, counter protest, and some element of those people are going to be carrying weapons. And then, have you seen much of that at all?
Yeah, I've seen people. Just before we had this phone call, I walked by somebody who had a rifle, and I saw another person who had a handgun on his side. So you see people walking around here, but I personally have not seen dozens of them walking all at once. But you see people walking around. It's kind of odd. I spoke with a woman yesterday about this. She told me she's from Cleveland. She was walking in the middle of downtown with her 2-year-old daughter, and her daughter said, "Mommy, what's that?" pointing to the gun on the guy's side. And she said, "Well, Mommy doesn't know." And she's telling me that she's scared to death because anything could pop off at any moment. Somebody could get drunk. Somebody can get upset. She's a hostess, and she gets off at 4 o'clock every day. So her hope is that no one gets drunk, no one gets so pissed off to the point where they feel like they have to go to their gun to resolve the issue. And she just wants them all to go away. We haven't seen any significant incidents with them, but there are a lot of people, particularly black people I've spoken to, who are terrified by these people. And a lot of them are not even from the state of Ohio. One of the guys I spoke to came from Minnesota, where it's concealed carry, not open carry. So a lot of people are just coming to kind of show off, and a lot of people just want to do this because they feel like they're supporting Trump by doing so. But you see them, and most of the locals just want them to go away after this convention is done.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty reasonable desire. get the guys who are coming on. I'm going on vacation just so that I can open carry for a couple of days in a potentially tense situation. These guys don't wear cowboy boots and spurs on them, do they, by any chance, or walk around like a...
No, I didn't see that. Listen, these guys, they are typically, they just have a lot of the, you know, Donald Trump, pro-Donald Trump. They're bikers. So if you think of a guy that has biker gear on, those are the guys. And then they just have their guns just strapped to their side, or they may have a rifle over them. And that's pretty much it. I spoke to a couple of them, and they talk to people, and they'll tell us, we're here to support Donald Trump, and we want to let people know that it's our constitutional right to carry firearms, and that's their thing. I mean, it bewilders me, but they're here, and there's not anything that the state of Ohio can do about
right.
it because, again, it's open carry. In fact, there are several police officials have tried to get it to where people can't open carry, but of course, it's against the Constitution, and those guys are pretty much shut down immediately. But yeah.
You mentioned that you came across some black folk who are supportive of Trump. I mean, have you had any extended conversations with these people? I'm curious. I mean, past RNCs, I've had conversations with, 10, 15 years ago, a gay Republican, and this is at a time where I think in 2004 where The Republican Party was really heavily exploiting the issue of marriage equality as a way of driving their votes. And I feel like, to a certain extent, we're seeing a lot of exploitation of Black Lives Matter.
Oh, black people? Oh, absolutely. Listen, so you asked me about the Black Republicans. Look, Donald Trump, in some states, here in Ohio, for example, and in Pennsylvania, he is polling at zero. And any race, you're going to find those outliers or people who go against the majority, which, okay, is perfectly fine. But as far as the conversations I've had with them, they genuinely feel that Donald Trump's rhetoric about Muslims is not racist. It's important to keep in mind that you can be a minority, you can be a Latino, you can be a black person, you can be a Muslim person, but you can hold white supremacist beliefs and ideologies, right?
Sure.
And I think it's an uncomfortable conversation that people don't want to have, but it's a true one, and we need to have that conversation. For example, I spoke with a black Republican guy last night, and he told me that xenophobia is not a subject that's important to our community, when I brought up the fact that Donald Trump has said very racist things about Muslims. And I had to tell him, well, you know, xenophobia is not germane to Muslims, right? It's germane to any, you know, it's a concept of wanting a particular race to be eliminated out off the globe. And if he feels that, and Trump feels that way about one person or one group of people, he feels that way about all of them. And for him, he just doesn't process it that way. When I asked him about Donald Trump, when I asked him about this idea of Republicans believing that Democrats give black people free stuff, he said he agreed. And anytime I asked him about what the Republican Party in his state, which is Florida, would do for black people, he talked about this idea of convincing them that they don't need free stuff. And I'm like, is that really what the Democratic Party is all about in general? So it's a very personal reason why people choose to vote politically the way that they do. I think the most important conversation I have is, how do the majority of people think? And he may have a personal narrative that may make him feel closer to Trump. I can't figure out what it is. So you're going to have those people who exist, but just know that the vast majority of black folk, or anyone who's a minority, think that the man is racist, and their personal narratives are very much tied to his rhetoric of xenophobia and anti-blackness and anti-Latino, you know, being anti-Latino, building walls. That's what resonates with most people of color.
Terrell Germain Starr, national political correspondent for Fusion, thank you so much for your time today. Stay safe out there, and I appreciate your taking the time to talk to us.
Hey, I appreciate you.
All right, folks. Right now, somebody is singing, I believe, the national anthem. Is it on? The idea of someone putting their hand on their heart, singing the national anthem, wearing a Donald Trump button, as we've just seen, is so disturbing that it's almost impossible to put into words. I'm not glib enough to come up with an expression of how disturbing that is.
How about Future of the Republic?
End times, Future of the Republic, we have. I actually made a birthday video for John Benjamin that was pretty close to being that disturbing. John Benjamin has a very sick sense of humor, and I needed to do something to make it disturbing enough to meet his standards. And that's where some... They're chanting USA. I think...
Please welcome Nathan Johnson. That's Nathan, of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day
Saints. Rance Priebus.
Who will lead us in the invocation.
Rance Priebus. Here's the invocation.
Our loving Father in heaven.
Now that's the Mormons, right? The Latter-day Saints?
We, thy children, bow our heads and give
that is an attempt to get Utah on board.
Nation,
they are very much...
And for
not
the
on board the Trump
enjoy,
train, as it were.
We ask for thy blessing upon tonight's proceedings and upon those who will be participating. Please bless all of our leaders, Father, that they may have wisdom and humility as they serve. We thank thee for all those men
this is followed by Ingraham, right?
To protect this country
Ingram.
And defend her freedoms. Please watch over them and comfort their families. We ask, Father, that thou wilt bless our enemies, and we pray for those who oppose our ideals and seek to do us harm, that their hearts
I'm sorry,
will
I don't
be
mean
softened.
To not talk over this. I was, I was, Callie was asking me to tell, hold on, are we getting a phone call? Are you expecting a phone call right now? Is this the Chinese food? Or the, we just had, I'm sorry, we had Mexican. Hello? Hey, turn down the TV. Turn down the, hello?
Daniel.
Oh, my God.
Daniel.
Catherine Harris?
It's Kathy.
Oh, my.
Kathy Samuel, just listen to me and don't say anything.
Well, wait a second.
This is important.
Are you okay?
I think that I'm not long for this world. My air passages have constricted.
Well,
I've had nothing to eat, and it seems it's my fate to meet my maker in this pipe.
Okay, you're
and
still
I don't
in the pipe?
Feel that I can cross over unless I confess.
Unless you confess?
Some
oh, wait a second.
To you, Samuel.
Okay.
You must listen because I feel we've been friends, have we not, over
I
the
mean,
years?
I mean, certainly we've known each other.
And I feel like telling you is like telling almost no one. So I feel comfortable.
Well, I'm glad.
Confessing.
I understand.
Confessing things. Samuel, first of all, I need to cleanse my conscience, much like the cleansing of the voter rolls.
No, wait, hold on. Kathy, just give me 1 second to just get my bearings here. I'm not sure if the other people who are listening to this know you were the former secretary.
Don't worry, I'm going to go through my list of sins, Sam Bell, understand?
Okay. I'm surprised you're still
Andrew
alive
Blythe
and your phone
me
is still
in the
working.
Light.
Okay, so go ahead.
Lord Republican Bahawa, and I need you to witness me.
Oh, okay. I will witness you.
Okay, Sam. I have to confess that I was part of the scrub list, 57,000 and more voters were deleted from the list used by the private company Choice Point.
Well, no, we knew this.
I'm just admitting these things or I will not be able to cross the River Styx.
The River Styx?
The River Styx. I told you not to speak.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I purged the voter rolls, and the voters were not alerted.
Yes.
I'm heartily sorry to the Heavenly Father. Oh, no, there's Antonin Scalia. I see him. The central voter file from my office. Every voter who was purged was assumed guilty until they provided documentation certifying their innocence. They were in a no-win situation, a catch-22. The DBT computer program automatically transformed various forms of single names, which was a catch-all. Now, DBT, as you may or may not know, has merged with Choice Point.
Did you? Yes, Kathy. Can I? Did you prepare?
Sam, this
had you prepared this confession beforehand?
You know.
It feels like you just pulled this
it
out of your.
It goes all the way back
pocket.
To the assassination of Julius Caesar.
What? It goes back to the assassination of Julius Caesar?
Everything is connected, Sam. It's a web, a tissue of lies.
A tissue of lies.
And Chad's.
And Chad's.
Oh, there's Lee Atwater. I see him. He's waving at me. Lee Atwater.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's...
I see him. Silvio Berlusconi was involved.
In the voter purge?
There's many, many people. COINTELPRO.
COINTELPRO?
The Jackals. The CIA.
The Jackals.
Sponsored mercenaries. The Galen Org.
Sorry, the what? The Galen Org?
The Corsican Mafia.
There was a lot
of... The killing fields in Cambodia, they're all connected, Sam. Project Paperclip.
Project Paperclip? I mean, I feel like this is like a Friday afternoon document dump that you're doing.
Listen, Sam, you are being compromised just by listening to this. Now, my phone battery is dying.
I mean, it's, so I got to say, it's,
there's something you need.
What is the phone that,
that
you're using?
Because
it's really...
your daughter's bat mitzvah. You definitely cannot.
Wait, I can't get my daughter bar mitzvahed? What did you say? Hello? Oh, my God. That was the, perhaps the last words of would-be Senator Catherine Harris. Something about my daughter's bat mitzvah. I hope it was, I've already sent my gift. I hope she said she already sent a gift. I mean, my kid's got 2.5 years to go, I think, but if you know that you're going to... What? Oh. Hello?
Alan Dulles. MK Ultra. Operation Third Chance.
Third Chance? Did you say? What did you say about...
God.
What did you say about Mila's...
The Gulag Archipelago.
What did you say about my daughter?
And Ken Lay is not dead, Sam.
Ken Lay is not
Ken
dead.
Ken Lay is not dead.
Where is he?
He's in the Carlisle Group under an assumed name. Listen, Sam, this is very, 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 very important. This concerns the safety of you and your family.
Okay.
Wernher von Braun and the attempted assassination of Charles de Gaulle. This all ties into your daughter's bat mitzvah. Listen to me, whatever you do, you cannot.
I cannot what? Oh, this happened to me in college, too. There was a guy down the hall. And at the time, we had, of course, we had no email or anything like that. I mean, nobody had computers when I first went to college. And but instead, what we had is these dry erase boards on our dorm doors. And this one guy would go around and write, like, scribble, scribble, emergency, scribble, scribble, dad, scribble. And, hold on. Hello?
Manchurian candidate.
Who's the... She hung up again. The reception... I don't understand how she went from "you have to." Wasn't she about to tell me something that I needed to, and then just somehow circled back around to Manchurian candidate? But the guy would scribble, and you would freak out because you'd be like, "I think there's an emergency. Somebody who left me this note." And then you'd go door to door, like, "Did you write that note? Did somebody call? Is there a problem?" And then, like, 3 hours later, you'd be totally messed up, and the guy would walk down the hall and go, "Hey, man." Did you, all right, we're still waiting. Who's this dude that's playing? Do you know, Matt?
I don't know.
Oh, and G.E. Smith was pretty psyched about it. I think this is...
Is this Radiohead?
I think this is Governor Scott Walker.
Too much hair. Yeah.
Hello?
Switzerland. Albert Hoffman and the discovery of LSD for mind control. 1943. Dr. Ben Carson and Sirhan, that's why they have the same glazed look. Listen to me, you are not safe.
I'm not. What?
3 Days of the Condor.
I did see that movie. That's
Ocean's
one of my favorites.
11. The Osterman Weekend.
Wait a second.
the White Walkers and the House of Lannister.
Wait. 3 days of the Condor. And, what? Hello? Kathy?
I'm dying.
Your Casey Kazoo sounds...
Sam G and Connor. Sam G and Connor.
I remember.
And the Havana connection in Cuba.
Well,
listen to me. Nicole Miller knew everything that was going on, even though she made a movie for HBO where she came off as a saint. Don't you believe it, Nicole Miller?
Who's
guilty? Guilty as charged.
Oh, Nicole. Who's Nicole Miller?
Oh, Samuel, I can't have this. I can't have you not knowing people you need to know. She right now, she's the resident douche who sometimes is on Bill Maher in a red sleeveless dress in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Okay. There was a movie made with Julianne Moore and she played Sarah Palin in it. Not her. Sarah Paulson played Nicole Miller. All you need to know, Kenley, is not that Andy Kaufman is still alive.
Andy Kaufman is still alive.
Bob Novak is beckoning me to the light. Sam Diebold.
Diebold?
Walter O'Dell.
I remember Walter O'Dell.
Please, no. This pipe. Samuel.
Yes.
Samuel.
Yes.
I need you to be safe. I need you to know that Dodie El-Fayed, the people's princess, Lady Di. Lady Di in the Chicago 7 or 8. I can't remember now.
What was 7?
You have to know that IBM and Eli Lilly, they're all connected, Samuel, to the assassination of Julius Caesar. And by the way, spoiler alert, it was Brutus.
Well, it's...
The Dreyfus Affair.
Yes?
Sacco and Vanzetti.
I feel like you're just listing...
The Rosenbergs. I'm heartily sorry, Father God. White power for the Rosenbergs. William Randolph Hearst, remember the Maine. And for that matter, the Alamo, just because.
I feel like you're just...
But Samuel, I need you to be safe.
No,
this
I'm safe.
This concerns all of your safety in that office you work in by J Street Metro Tech Stop.
Well,
you need to be careful.
I'm...
You need to know about Sandoz, the Swiss pharmaceutical company. Artichoke Program, Interrogation and Mind Control, Sid Gottlieb and Richard Helms. Listen, if they know that you know... You are in danger, so what you have to do, Sam...
How did you just tell me
above
on
all
radio?
Else, you have to...
Hello? I feel it's almost like on purpose she's doing that. It seems like... Matt the BK just finished listening to last night's podcast. I guess they didn't broadcast the announcement at the end. Do not tackle the Muslim. Donald asked him to speak. I'm going to be totally pissed if they don't have a drunken stool on stage tonight. Candy Graham. Kathy's fillings are receiving the X-Files. Puck Tart. Good evening, gentlemen and lady. I've been looking forward to this all day. Let the games begin. Brilliant Bilbo. Hi, Kelly. Got cut again. Please, Kelly, please finish your point. And that Chris Christie speech yesterday was horrifying. Good people must now take it on themselves to do what they can. I don't know what that means, but I hope it has to do with organizing. Kelly, do you want to finish your point? I have no idea what you were talking about. Epish, Alex Jones, cuck. Make sure that you push that upload, Sam. It's hilarious. Someone tell Michael that eye contact is important in core value proposition. Also, personal hygiene. Scott Walker, GOP governor of Wisconsin. By the way, aren't most concealed carry states open carry states? Open carry is it? Hello?
I'm Nicole Wallace. I am heartily sorry, not Nicole Miller, for once you were correct in not understanding what I'm saying. I was thinking of Mad TV. She's wonderful. Nicole Wallace.
Oh, okay.
Nicole Wallace. I'm sorry. She's horrible. Horrible, horrible. Do not trust her.
Oh, okay.
Jack Ruby. And by the way, Zika. The Zika virus. You must be careful of the Zika. The most fat.
What did she say?
Guy Fieri and Johnny Garlics. Do not eat at Johnny Garlics.
Don't eat at Johnny Garlics? What's Johnny Garlics? Is that
Johnny, Guy Fieri's restaurant. He seems like a nice enough guy, but he is connected. He is connected to IBM.
Now, Catherine, what have you been walking around with all of this inside of you?
I've been carrying this heavy, heavy, heavy load, Sam, and I feel that as I meet my maker, if I do not admit my sins to you, which is like telling no one, I feel I will not be able to see the Father God. Praise him. White lights matter. Listen, Sam, Baker and Bot is aware of this conversation. They hear everything, Baker.
Well, I mean, we're broadcasting it.
Actually, it was Nicole Selvin on that.
Nicole Selvin?
Nicole Miller makes dresses. Nicole Selvin. She's also on King of Queens. I'm woozy from lack of gorp. Listen, Hoover.
Yeah?
Who is that other closet queen?
Roy Cohn?
Roy Cohn.
Right. Oh, just,
Roy Cohn.
Just shot in the dark, I mean.
You're absolutely right, Roy Cohn. Horrible, horrible. Worked with the hitmen from the Corsican Mafia. Dealey Plaza, Sam. Dealey Plaza.
Daily, I think it's Daily Plaza.
Daily Plaza.
Oh, okay.
The book suppository in Dallas.
The book suppository.
Suppository. You have to be careful, Sam.
Oh, you'd
Eric
be...
Eric Prince.
Catherine Harris, you'd be happy to know that your governor is speaking right now, just two floors above you, in the Cleveland Convention Hall.
Is it Scott Walker?
No, you're from Florida. It's not Scott Walker.
I don't know who's speaking. I'm in a pot, Sam.
Before I begin tonight, Lex Luthor.
Is it Marco Rubio?
No. What is Rick Scott? Rick Scott.
Don't trust him, Sam. He's in the Republican Governor's Association.
Well, I mean, I don't trust him.
Affiliated with the Bilderberger Group.
American people.
I mean, even if he wasn't, I wouldn't trust him.
So on behalf of all the citizens of our great state,
took the fifth, like 52 times in a fraud case, a Medicare fraud case. Hello?
Samuel Max Rankle.
Max Rankle?
The neurophysicist. Not today.
Yes?
How many more times who is responsible for the mind drugs that control Sirhan Sirhan and Dr. Ben Carson?
The President of the United States will muster the courage to face the truth.
I feel like there was a gap of time there where he must have controlled somebody.
He's from Montreal.
San Bernardino's. Or Fort Hood's will happen until President Obama decides to be honest.
So Rick Scott is saying that the terrorism and the attacks are going to continue.
With the grieving moms and dads and brothers and sisters,
but not for the reasons you
think. Of the 49 people slaughtered by the ISIS-inspired terrorists. This
war
is real.
ISIS-inspired.
It is here in America. And the next president must destroy this evil.
Evil, Sam.
I don't think I've ever heard somebody who sounds like they don't believe what they're saying more than Rick Scott just sounded.
Donald Trump is the man for that job.
Now, what the hell are they doing in Florida? How do they...
Daniel, I don't know. I'm not in Florida. I'm in a pipe.
I know.
In Cleveland. For crying out loud, I never thought this was where I'd die. Cleveland. I mean, I do respect rock and roll. And I think it's wonderful that people like the Big Bopper got to play with the people of color, things of that nature.
Really where we are today.
But I was so wrong about so
today,
many things.
In terrible world record high debt.
And Lay is not dead. There's going to be our more rolling blackouts as long as Arnold Schwarzenegger is alive.
We've allowed our military to decay.
It's not the
And
it's
we
not the
project
governor.
Weakness on the international stage. Washington rose
huge
while the
ghost
rest
ball.
Of America
He smiles after he yeah. ends a line.
The Democrats have not led us to a crossroads.
A class
They
crossroads?
Have led us to a cliff.
Is someone making interesting analogies in a halted
now,
voice
I know
above
that
me?
Some have reservations about my friend Donald Trump.
Perhaps
he's sometimes not polite. He can be a little rough. And for some people, he may be too direct. But this election is not actually about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. In fact, it's
no,
not an election about you or me.
It's about MK Ultra.
This election
and
is
Project
about
Paper
the very
Clip.
Survival
Damn.
Of the American dream.
About the American dream. Kathy Harris.
I try to tell you about the conspiracy of corruption that has fueled
Americans the
GOP and has killed
banners, vote for
John
the survival
F. Kennedy,
of the greatest
Robert
country
F.
in the world,
Kennedy.
And do the right thing for this country. Vote for Donald Trump.
I gotta say, if you're asking people at the convention to vote for your candidate, right? I mean, I'm all in on preaching to the choir, God knows, but...
Finally, I have some great news. This is the time America has been waiting for. This year, we get to fire the politicians.
Says the two-term governor from Florida.
And who better to let the politicians know you're fired than Donald Trump?
Now, that's clever. What he did there was to bring in the whole apprentice thing.
A core brand proposition of
yes.
Trump.
We need a president who is politically incorrect and will tell it like it is. We need a president who isn't afraid of Washington. We need a president who doesn't believe government is the answer to every problem. We need a president who recognizes that great countries have borders. We need a president who will bring American jobs back to America.
Is this guy always this, like,
we
struggling to articulate?
Not afraid to say,
I mean, I just remember him
Islamic
in a Starbucks, and he wasn't terribly articulate
right.
then.
That is also my only memory.
He seems
and
like he might be drunk.
Wonderful memory.
Yeah, he hasn't pronounced a few
earth.
Words right, like
yeah.
America.
I was going to transition to beer, but I actually think I might need some more
and on
bourbon.
Every one of these measures, Hillary Clinton fails, she fails, she fails.
Say it three times. Laura Ingraham is up next.
Say something frightful.
Lock her up, they're cheering. This is,
Daniel.
Yes, Catherine Harris.
Have you heard about Shirley Jackson's the lottery? Did you read it?
Shirley Jackson's lottery?
The lottery, the book by Shirley Jackson, the lottery where people get stoned with lots.
I don't think that was written by Shirley Jackson.
Who wrote it? I'm dying.
Thank you, and God bless this great country.
The lottery was it Pinter? Who wrote The Lottery?
Shirley Jackson.
Please welcome nationally syndicated radio host and the...
Oh, here's Laura Ingraham.
Life's at Laura Ingraham.
Maybe it was by Shirley Jackson.
What?
What? I guess it was by Shirley Jackson. Jeez.
It was written by Shirley Jackson.
Oh, here's Laura Ingraham.
Laura Ingraham, who survived cancer and learned nothing. She will not be able to cross over. She's learned nothing.
She's in favor of adult diapers for all.
Samuel, but she has adopted a child from Guatemala. And I want the hired guns in Latin America and Guatemala, sponsored by our economic hitman. U.S.-supported covert ops in Guatemala. They are connected to her adopted Guatemalan child.
My kids know me by my most important name.
Mom.
Mom.
Yes, her child was adopted from Guatemala, where we have had hired mercenaries for years.
They're watching in Minnesota right now. And, hi, kids.
Why are you going to say adopted children?
I'm here tonight supporting Donald Trump.
Samuel, I'm dying.
Because, like most Americans, I refuse to leave my kids a country that is worse off than the ones that my parents
left. Samuel, she's evil. She's part of the hired guns in Guatemala, the dictatorship of finance, the U.S.-supported slaughter.
Depression-era New England.
The geopolitical crisis and her adopted child from Guatemala. Can you not? This is like a child's jigsaw puzzle.
My mom,
you know, I'm struck by.
She waited tables until she was 73 years old.
Laura Ingraham coming on, talking about how.
She's going to give her fake backstory of humility.
Her
dad. He worked at his car wash.
Her dad was a vet. Her mom. Was a waiter. She just makes her living off the radio.
From the same company, Sam.
And they scrimped and saved. My mother made my
clothes. I hear Samuel.
Yes.
She wore the same winter coat for 40 years.
Oh my God, a coat of many colors. What is she, Dolly Parton?
The extra money in our house went into the bank for our education. And we learned that there is dignity in every job. Every job. No matter what you do. My brothers, they picked tobacco and delivered newspapers.
Oh my
I picked
God.
Blueberries and raked lawns. We did what we had to do. You see,
picking blueberries, not hard.
Didn't
done
believe
it.
There were
pretty
jobs
easy.
That Americans wouldn't do.
In fact, I will do that when there's an opportunity to pick your own blueberries. I'll do that. Not even get paid. To pay to pick blueberries, I will pick.
In the early 70s, I was a little kid, and I remember watching the news with my mom at night. And one night I asked
her, I think
we
lost Catherine Harris.
Why are people burning the American flag? And she looked at me
and
said,
Laura, don't make up stories.
Because their parents didn't teach them about respect.
Authoritarian mindset.
You would have loved my mother.
And then she beat me with a belt. And that's why I remember that story.
Respect. Respect. We see it in decline in America once again. The people don't respect the government. The government doesn't respect the people. Not even our veterans. Politicians, they don't respect the Constitution. Many do not respect the life of the infant in the womb or the elderly who languish alone.
Wow, that shows, I think, the weakness of the anti-abortion folk, that you've got to conflate the fetus with
others, they don't
actual people who are elderly.
The men and women who risk their lives every day for every one of us. And, hey, many in public office, we know this all too well, don't we? Many in public office don't enforce or respect the rule of law. Isn't that right, Mrs. Clinton? That's right.
Every fucking station we have.
Too many citizens and non-citizens don't respect our laws either. And many of our allies, they don't respect us anymore.
Our allies don't respect us anymore.
My friends, it is really sad. It's heartbreaking to see this happen to the country that we love. This is our home. It belongs to us, to our children, to our grandchildren. It's where our dead are buried. And we deserve better, and we can do better. Like us, Donald Trump understands that we have to turn this around. We have to restore respect across all levels of society. Unlike us, Hillary Clinton believes the status quo is just fine because she helped create it.
What's going on? What do
I do,
guys?
Donald Trump knows that a nation without borders isn't a nation at all. But Hillary Clinton, she doesn't believe in borders. Donald Trump knows that a country must put its citizens first, its own people first. Now, what about Hillary Clinton? Hillary Clinton thinks America is just another nation and a global order.
Does this non-American exceptionalism play to normal
that
human beings?
Greatness,
like, Hillary Clinton just thinks we're a country.
It comes from her freedom.
I honestly have no sense of this.
Hillary Clinton? Well, she believes our greatness can only be found in the ever-growing, bloated government bureaucracy that only she, Her Majesty, can rule over.
It's pretty amazing that they put
placed over her shoulders.
A AM talk radio host in their prime time, right? I mean, like,
no, Hillary.
It could have been any of a number, too. I feel like it could have been Hugh Hewitt or anybody, really, that.
But I'm just saying, like, any, like, the idea, this would be unheard of years ago.
Back in 1979, we were in a mess back then, too, right? We waited in line for gas. We waited for our hostages to come home. We waited for someone to convince us that the long national nightmare would soon be over. And then Ronald Reagan rode in just in time to restore our national confidence. Oh, he's watching us today. He's watching.
Confused by what he's seeing,
he
but he's watching.
To restore our national confidence.
What? Where
restore
am I?
Our economy.
Am I still alive?
Our military.
I don't understand, Nancy.
Today, many of our people wait for jobs.
Why does Peggy Noonan still keep
we
knocking
wait for
on
a
my
strategy,
casket?
Any strategy to
what
keep
is she
us
doing?
Safe. And our veterans, they die waiting for decent care. Well, everybody, with Donald J. Trump, thank God that wait is over. It's done. Donald Trump has pledged to work tirelessly to get our country back on track. I want to say this very plainly. We should all, even all you boys with wounded feelings and bruised egos, and we love you, we love you, but you must honor your pledge to support Donald Trump now. Tonight. Tonight.
That pledge seems like it was yesterday.
I hope they're listening to you. I hope they are listening.
This is actually kind of interesting because there's a divide between the people on the floor and like who they think might steal Trump from them.
What do you mean?
Like this seems all framed like they're gonna like she's like they need to get behind Trump, and like the people on the floor are like, well, they're worried that the elites are gonna ruin it for them.
Yeah, I think that they're setting that up also on purpose. I mean, this is.
Wages, we have skyrocketing healthcare
the
stat, costs,
this is the laying the groundwork for the stab in the back.
The threat of ISIS, the rise of China.
Argument.
And the Democrats' answer to all that is to nominate the woman who helped to orchestrate America's decline. Now think about it. Think about it. That has to be some cruel joke, like skinny jeans on men or man buns or something like that.
About a year.
That's a bad joke.
From being topical.
Now, I don't want to sit around and tell my kids stories someday about how great America used to be. Do you? We never give up. We rise to every challenge. We fight and we win. We're Americans. And we need. America, we need a president who believes in the Constitution. And who
I need more alcohol. This is
us,
really
not against us. Treat us like an ally, not an enemy. Fight alongside with us. We are not the enemy. We're
I think
the
I probably
people.
Just need the bottle, the entire bottle. Let me get some ice too.
We're not
I gotta
your
stand
servants.
Up. My back is
done.
Back is frozen up already. Thames and Darwin, Sam, you got to see the interview with Michael Ian Black on Dave Rubin's show. Black nailed the whole Trump alt-right cluster F.
In the press.
Is it good?
I see you. Hello.
Bull Prague. I wonder how much of the speeches will be on tonight's
to all my friends up there in the
theme
press.
Of Make America First Again. As long as
you
they finally talk about Benghazi.
Why in your heart Donald Trump won the Republican nomination. You know it.
I know it.
You know why he won it?
Yes, I know. Because you're all
he did
losers.
To call out the phonies, the frauds, and the corruption
no.
that has gone unexposed
no.
and uncovered for too long.
I love it.
Too long. Do your job.
British Joe, I'm eating takeout curry to show solidarity with our Muslim friends tonight. Deuce Me Daily, apparently third eye blind frontman Stephen Jenkins epically rolled the outdoor party of the RNC convention during their performance last night. Freaking awesome. Trolled. Huh. Third eye blind? Trolled the outdoor RNC party? I didn't hear that. Ed Trooptent. So Kasich was offered Dick Cheney's role?
Doing your job is a novel concept.
Ha
And by the way, people on another cable network were talking about how there was no energy in the room last night. Why don't you sit here with the people?
That's all right.
What a joke. America is on to you. Donald Trump respects us enough to tell us the hard truths about what has happened to our country on issues
like immigration. Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining.
Trade, our diminished status around the world, even in the face of unfair criticism and sheer hatred. They had their chance. Now, it's our chance.
High on the hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, roddlay, roddlay, hoo hoo. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd, lay, roddlay, roddloo.
America, let us tonight go forth and reject the politics of division. Let's defeat the Clinton machine.
Charge.
Let's send the consultants, the pollsters, and the lobbyists.
We've got anger for a reason!
Let's give the power back to the people.
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
And let's elect Donald Trump president of the United States.
Thinking people
God
know
bless
better.
You and God bless the United States of America.
Oh yeah, this is the night I think where I actually literally have to be transported out of here on a gurney. Oh, this is a good time for me to stop and pour a drink.
Great speech by Ann Coulter there.
Hello, my name is Phil Ruffin. Donald and I have been friends for over 20 years and business partners. I can tell you as a friend, he has been unbelievable. Donald's word is his bond. If Donald tells you something, put it in the bank. He's been my partner and friend, and believe me, his handshake is better than any contract you will ever write.
Sounds sexual.
Innovator, entrepreneur. No one in business works
harder. What's the one thing that Donald Trump innovated?
Sometimes he works 20 hours a day. I worry about it. He can see things that others cannot see. He'll look at a deal and make something incredible out of it. We were in New York on Park Avenue.
We need to go back to recognizing data and science.
I didn't like it. I said, Donald, stay away from it. He bought it, made $200 or $300 million on a deal. That's what he does. We're in Palm Beach with Robert Kraft. Donald had a house on the ocean. He paid $40 million for it. I didn't like it. I thought it was a mess. He sold it for $100 million. Shows you what I know.
He's an everyman, everyone.
As a result of his vision, he's put tens of thousands of American workers to work. And these are high-paid jobs on construction. If any of you do construction,
Matt wanted
to
know
what
Donald Trump had innovated. And he was the first person to come up with the tax avoidance scam on gift taxes by having his dad buy $3.6 million worth of chips in his Vegas casino when he was facing a default on a loan.
His name is all over
and
the place.
His dad was only fined $50,000, which is barely registers as a percentage point on that $3.6 million gift.
I remember it being $30,000, and the reason I remember that is because that's six of the chips.
Let me tell you about
six of the chips?
Yep.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Innovative. Honestly, I mean, you have to give
this
credit where credit's due.
This one of the deals we did together, Donald and I, built the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas. Beautiful hotel.
This is really all doing it for people, I think.
Amenities, he knows how to build. He builds them with detail. We had
as opposed to all those other builders.
I don't need a speech. I don't need to write it.
Blueprints.
90 days. But then that was 2007 and 2008. Nobody could close. The recession hit. The banks shut down. So here we were stuck.
This is about as intriguing as those 13-hour guys were on night one.
Yeah, I know. This guy thinks he's at the Bellagio at a table, eating, staring at like a white tiger in a glass case, telling a great story that people are listening to because the guy's so rich. Everybody wants to hang out with him because they hope he's going to pick up the tab.
We will make the damn thing work, and he did.
Ah, he did it! Yeah! He made the damn thing work!
Put in $30 million apiece in 4 years. He didn't squawk, wired the money in. I believed him.
He just dropped in $30 million. Don't you see? He's one of us!
He's tough. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. He always pays his bills promptly. You won't hear that. Promptly, no discounts. Nobody lost any money on it. Today, we have 80% sold. We have no debt. We've paid off all that debt. And so we're going to make a lot of money on it. It's become a huge success.
We're going to get rich. How do you think about that, people?
The country.
We're going to get so effing rich.
Why aren't they cheering this?
Believe me, he will. His mind works like that. Think, you know, he's instead of thinking of Donald Trump, he will think of the country.
Uh-huh.
So yep. He's a developer. It's just like a switch you flip.
Extraordinary. He's an entrepreneur like nobody you've ever seen. He is a leader. He wants to lead this country.
From the front, not behind.
When he first told me, we were in Mar-a-Lago, he first told me he was going to run for president. I said, Donald, are you sure you want to do this? You're king of the world. You have everything you want. Why would you want to do this? He said, simply, I love this. I love America. Our system is broken, and I am going to fix it.
And I want all the power. I want every bit of the power.
That's what America needs now. A fighter,
and none of the responsibility. That's what I'm the vice president for.
Someone that knows what the hell he's doing. And believe me, Donald can do it all. I know him like I knew a brother. I love the man. He will make
I
this
killed
country
my brother.
Great again.
Go don't know Donald, him anymore.
See in Washington, a tsunami is coming. His name is Donald Trump.
Yes, a tsunami. Promising. You're all going to die in a huge flood, and that flood's name is Donald
Please
Trump.
Give a warm welcome to
everything you love
General
will be washed away and submerged underwater, and you won't be able to breathe, and that'll be Donald Trump. Now, this is the Attorney General who took $25,000, right? What is wrong with Florida? This is their attorney general.
November 8th is a day of reckoning for all those who have abused their power
by taking money and dropping investigations.
The people will take back our government.
I mean, folks, you really do have to ask yourself. She's an attorney general. Her boss is a governor of Florida. They both are referring to themselves as we the people.
To a president
as opposed to whom? I mean, if they're not politicians, who are politicians?
Constitutional rights and Russian roulette with our borders. November 8th is when America feels safe again.
Wait a second.
That might be true.
Wait a second. Is that what we're doing
because
tonight?
That's when America wins again.
I thought tonight was to make America
because
first again.
This election means reclaiming something to which I've dedicated my entire career, the rule of law. Laws that make our neighborhoods safe,
Like, stand your ground.
Laws that make our economy strong. Laws that apply equally to everyone. And Louisiana, now more than ever, laws that back our law enforcement. They have.
It's crazy Louisiana trumps Dallas in the most recent way to talk about the police.
I turn her down. Let's take a phone call. Calling from a 509 area code. Who's this?
Hey, Sam. This is Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. You're interrupting Pam Bondi. I hope you know that.
Yeah, super sad about that. I wanted to talk about Ghost Reagan.
Ghost Reagan.
And whether... Yeah, so normally when people... I don't really believe that dead people like hang out with us, but normally when people invoke like a dead person, it's like, you know, at a wedding, and I feel the presence of your father here. We know he's watching down on us, and it's weird to evoke a ghost during like such a hate-filled speech. I don't know. There was something odd about that. Like, she was just screaming about, you know, all these things, and then she all of a sudden she said that Ghost Reagan was at the convention. That was kind of weird.
He could have been at the convention. Actually, there were reports of the norovirus amongst Republican staffers. He could have come back in the form of the norovirus. It's possible.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Two other quick things. The last speaker said that Donald Trump pays his bills.
Yeah.
Like, they're basically, it's like the worst praise of a candidate ever, I think, that he pays his bills.
Well, I mean, it would have been worse if he had said he doesn't pay his bills, but.
Yeah.
And then said something.
I mean, I guess
but,
it just shows the state of, you know, Donald Trump, that they needed to get speakers to get up there and swear that, in fact, he does pay his bills on time.
I think the speaker list, I think, is definitely a function of Trump just walking around going like, oh, hey, Paul, you want to speak at my convention? Come, do it. Great. And then just basically shifting that off to apparently, what's her face? MacGyver? What's her name? Mary what? Melanie MacGyver? Whatever, whoever that is. Ron Reagan, thanks for the call.
One other super quick thing. I was hoping you could give a little perspective. This convention seems totally crazy to me. I mean, I know there's supposed to be cheerleading rallies, basically, and not a lot of substance, but is this worse than other years, or am I crazy? And I'll take your answer off the air.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know how much I remember of the other conventions. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hello?
Samuel.
Catherine Harris. Yes. Kathy, are
I
you
think a, this may be one of our last communications.
Get the sense.
I just wanted to unburden myself before I meet my maker in Republican Valhalla.
Okay.
Samuel.
I mean, you've really unburdened us.
I have a
lot.
Last request of you.
Yeah.
That you would be so kind as to make a compendium collection of all of our audio correspondences.
Well, of course I would do that. Of course.
But edit yourself out. Because I think it would make it more palatable to a listener on iTunes.
Well, I mean, if I was to edit myself out, it would be weird because you'd be responding to things.
Well, I find that you are disruptive to flow. Samuel, also, I have only two regrets in my life.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good. Two's
I didn't keep in touch with my parents enough. I was to call my father every Sunday, and sometimes I skipped, and sometimes I pretended I had to get off the phone, even though I really didn't.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people do that, so.
And my second regret is that I never got the chance to meet Marc Maron.
Well, I mean, He's not that big of a deal. I mean, if you really want to know the truth, it's not. I have a feeling you'd be disappointed. She hung up. I don't know if she's still alive.
Do you want to go back to Ronald Reagan's question?
Is this one more crazy than in the past? I think it's less cohesive. And so it comes off as a little more crazy. Like, there's no, like this. What's going on here?
Sparked in the light of a million stars on quiet, clear summer nights. It ignited the minds of fearless and determined individuals who summoned the courage to break the rules of gravity.
Oh, the astronaut. Mm.
47 years ago.
Just in case you were wondering and you're a Republican, a young man from this is a government program. One giant leap for mankind. It's a film about a government program.
And selfless courage of Neil Armstrong and the Apollo 11 team.
Hmm.
And were Armstrong
who
here
paid
tonight,
for those outfits?
Us of all those who came before him to make his journey into history possible.
It's almost like the way that we build the infrastructure in this country.
It'd be great if she talks about how climate change is a hoax.
That's all well and good, but we know that's magic that created that video.
The race for space was on. By 1958,
I heard Fox today talk about how we're like on month 14. Like they just said, without even blinking an eye, maybe it was last night, late, like June was the hottest month, record. They just said it as if like they didn't catch themselves, as if Roger Ailes was under so many accusations of sexual harassment that he was no longer pulling the levers of what was going on there, almost. That's apparently... James and Lachlan Murdoch, breaking glass ceilings, they're most embarrassed about Fox's perspective on global warming. That's the first change I bet you're going to see on Fox, possibly before the election.
That's going to be a big part of what people remember about Fox, isn't it? Like looking years from now when actually like we're dealing with the effects more obviously.
You know, Matt, I don't think people are going to remember any of it. Honestly, I think in 5 years, people are just going to assume that I don't think they're going to remember that Fox wasn't that at all. They're just going to. I don't. The idea of people maintaining some thread of history in this country, I think that's over. We're It's like 6 months on the outside is what I think people seem to be able to remember. I mean, honestly, this is complete insanity, what we're watching over the past couple of days. And we're a nerd to it a little bit, but it's total insanity. I can tell you 10 years ago, if you came from the future and said, I'm going to be working for you in an office in Brooklyn 10 years from now, in addition to me making some very different decisions about my life, and you were to tell me Donald Trump was going to be the nominee and there'd be some concern that he was going to be the president, I would just assume that you were some type of like plant gaslighting me in some fashion. So when future astronauts look up to the So maybe we should come up with a code word in case you do come back, because there are some decisions I would like to make differently.
Yeah, just let me know what those were, and I'll bring a list, and you can, like, sign it.
Yeah, we got to do some... got to watch, like, Back to the Future, see, like, what the code word was. There has to be something, right?
Please welcome Colonel Eileen Collins, the first woman to command...
She better talk about jetpacks. That's the only thing I care about. I think that's pretty big of her... Big of them to applaud her,
to
even though she's a woman
and a government employee.
Thank you. From the moment the first pilgrims arrived on our shores, Americans have been asking, what's next?
What?
We are a nation built by the passion of people who weren't afraid to do something first, to step into the unknown, and to pave our own way forward. We are a nation of explorers. In 1961, President Kennedy issued a challenge to America
Democrat.
To land a man on the moon and return him safely to Earth. And 47 years ago, on this very day, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin
government
answered
employees.
That call, and they walked on the moon. And they took with them an American flag and a plaque bearing the inscription, "Here, men from planet Earth first set foot upon the moon, July 1969. We came in peace for all mankind. We landed
Boo,
on the
talk
moon
about how Hillary's a criminal.
Leadership challenge.
This is like the same talk she gives the third graders, I think.
We know that exploration leads to invention, innovation, and discovery. For example, our successful robotic missions to Mars, Jupiter, and Pluto have provided valuable information about our own planet. But in 2011, the space shuttle program ended. The last time the United States launched our own astronauts from our own soil was over 5 years ago. We must do better than that.
Oh boy. The dissonance is so thick here, I can't even.
Countries
like,
that are strong are
literally,
that
what's
explore,
next? They're going to have someone,
discover,
like a former food inspector, come up and talk
world.
About how we're not doing proper. The FDA is not rigorous enough.
Explorers is the first woman to command a space shuttle mission.
All right, I can't. Joining I'm going to have to go to the IMs. I honestly, seriously, like that's just too. Scotty, this is sick. Silence is so much better than listening to this Cleveland steamer of a convention. Yet I can't stop listening to you guys. I'm also binge eating and crying intermittently, just saying. Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm getting as close to drunk as I possibly can. You know, Will Triumph, majority support asked me if Triumph and Smigel might be calling in to report from the GOP convention. I saw him harassing an MSNBC reporter the other night. And I texted him, and I never heard back, actually. I don't think. Okay, free beers. That's it for you tonight. We continued on with the show because the Republicans continued on with the show. But if you want to go back and relive the magic, become a member today. Go to jointhemajorityreport.com. Don't forget, help us out by buying your Amazon or Jet.com stuff through our Majority Report kickback link. That's at majorityreportkickback.com. And also justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. We will be back Tuesday night, approximately 7 p.m. Going to have some other guests maybe in studio and some more shenanigans and hooligans. A lot of gans tomorrow night. All right, folks.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know. Choice was made for the option where you don't get paid.